Lord, what a privilege it is to sing each week, to sing today songs of worship to you. And as we learn what it is to worship you, may we also learn what it is to serve you as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, seeing that last Sunday morning's interactive quiz was so popular, went down so well, I thought I would start with another kind of interactive quiz to get our minds working on this beautiful morning. So all I want us to do, quite simply, is to complete the pairings, okay? Do you think you can manage that? A nod would be good. Exactly, good. Okay, a nice easy one to start. Turkey and? Brilliant, you've got the idea. Turkey and ham. Ant and? Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I never thought of that, actually. No, not aunt and uncle, as in the TV people. But aunt and uncle is technically the right answer. I can't deny that. But I was thinking of aunt and deck, exactly. Left and right, exactly. Strawberries and cream. Batman and? You're getting the idea. Bacon and? Sausages, eggs. I was thinking of eggs. And finally, thunder and? Lightning, exactly. I think you aced the quiz this morning. Each, of course, can be on its own, but they're all better together. If you remember the old Frank Sinatra song, if some of us are of that age or that ilk, love and marriage, they belong like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Exactly. Well done. That's the theme that I want us to bring into the sermon today. You can't have one without the other. We've been looking through a book, as you know, called How to Walk into Church by a man called Tony Payne. And the book essentially that we've been looking at over this Lenten period is challenging us what it is that we are coming to, what we do, and what we leave behind as we come to church primarily on a Sunday morning. And as we come to chapter 5 in a few moments, the two words that I want us to bring, the pair, if you want, is love and service. So within the church context, within the worship context, the words that I want us to bring with us is love and service. Let me do a quick recap. So far, we've learnt about why we come to church, or why we can come to church, that God, through Jesus, has redeemed us, that God, through Jesus, through the cross, which we will celebrate in a few weeks' time, has opened up for us a new, deeper, more intimate way of relating to God. Through faith in Jesus, we can come and in a very personal way know God. In fact, that's what we learned in the second chapter of the book, what the purpose of the church is. God has saved his people and calls believers together to come and to worship. And building on that, we have learned that while our faith is an individual response to God, it is better done in a corporate setting. We don't come always and worship God alone. God's desire and the way he has designed us is to be part of a believing community. We get strength and encouragement and love when we come and worship regularly as part of a believing community. It is that in that community that we love and grow in our faith together. And then last week, which was a very challenging chapter, chapter 4, it challenged us about where exactly we prioritize church in our lives. Was it merely one thing that competed against other things, that wasn't given any particular preference, or, as it should be, was church an immovable priority around which we build everything else? Was it something that was number one priority? And Tony Payne encouraged us with a very simple word when we think about church and belonging to a worshiping community regularly. He used the word go. That should be the first word on our lips. And we spent a lot of time talking about that on Wednesday evening, as we've been doing each of the Wednesdays during Lent, thinking about how church for many of us was once so revered. As we think back over yesteryears, how church, how Sunday was set aside, I guess, for God, but how now the demands of life take folk away from church. Life has changed. Life is not quite as simple, we might say, as it once was. We talked about, for example, why, despite having three service time choices within our group of parishes, that folk won't travel between the churches in terms of maybe one time suiting or another time not. And the need for church to think of different ways, perhaps of different times during the week, to gather as God's people together. We reminded ourselves that essentially is the definition of church, and it need not always be on a Sunday morning. Perhaps we need to be more creative, as we do with things like messy church, for example, gathering folk together at different times. Well, with all of that as our foundation and behind us, this week I'm looking at and summarising chapter 5, entitled After I Walk Into Church. And if you want to discuss it more, we're meeting on Thursday this week, not Wednesday, because the Mothers Union closing service is on Wednesday. So Thursday this week from 8 to 9 in the rectory. So, writes Tony Payne, we've made the decision to come to church, as we all have this morning. We have responded to the word go. What then is this time together to be about? And this is where our twin words come into play. As part of our gathering, we are to love and to serve. Love and to serve. Now, we get that we are to love and serve each other beyond the church door. It's what we finish our service with every week, isn't it? We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In practical and in real and in generous ways, we serve God as part of this community, as part of the wider community. But how are we supposed to love and serve the Lord within a church service? Surely that is not the point of coming together. It's about God and God alone. Thankfully, Tony Payne teases this out, and he underlines what I've just said, that absolutely, church is about coming to worship God. That is always the primary reason why we gather together. It's about focusing on Jesus. But, writes Tony Payne, as we focus on Jesus, something happens. The more clearly we begin to focus on Jesus, the more clearly we begin to be changed, to see things through his eyes, then we start to see the people who are sitting around us as something different. We no longer see people as they are, but we see people as Jesus sees people, as those for whom he has died as well. And the better we come to know the God who sacrificed his son for the salvation of all, the more our hearts are filled with love for the motley crew of forgiven sinners who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. I've said it before, we're all equal before the cross. We're all sinners before the cross, and yet we are all redeemed by faith. And so as we begin to know more about Jesus, then our hearts are changed to those around us. So as we love the Lord, our heartfelt response is to share that love with those around us. And the next bit is important. What we do in church, writes Tony Payne, is a constant interplay between the vertical, our relationship looking to God, and the horizontal, encountering the people around us. We don't just come into church, engage with no one, and leave. We are called to share our lives together. You can't have one without the other. Love and serve. So that's the theory behind what Tony Payne writes. It's important that we take that a step further and begin to make an application of what he writes. Practically speaking, how do we love and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ during our church time together? And he gives us three examples to get us started, to get us thinking, to get us talking about how we do that. Janet is going to love the first one. I told her before the service that some of these will make her smile. So this is the first thing that he writes. He says, when we sing, we show love and service to each other. When we sing, our hearts are stirred and lifted up to God. When we sing together, it is an act of building each other up and mutually encouraging each other, as much as an act of Godward thinking and joy. This means, right, Tony Payne, that no matter what the hymn or the song is, it's always more encouraging and helpful if you sing it with gusto, as opposed to mumbling out the words with a bored or peevish look on your face, what encourages no one. It does not matter whether you liked a particular hymn or song, or even whether you are any good at singing. You belt out the song with enthusiasm, because as you do, you're really giving voice to your faith in God and hope in God and love for God. But you're also testifying to those around you. You're being an example and encouragement to the rest of the congregation. Do you agree, Janet?
Yes.
Absolutely. Say that again.
Yes.
Absolutely. And Janet is very good at encouraging all, us all to sing. And it's great too when we have folk like Doris here who sing and lead us and help us in that. So when you sing, it's an encouragement to each other. Well, if Janet loved the first one, then as I read the second one, I felt this was for me. And that is that we can love and serve each other when we listen. When we listen. You might think the sermon is one occasion when we are definitely just focusing on God and not others. But there's actually a lot we can do to help both the preacher and our fellow congregation members during the sermon. Listen carefully. And again, this is Tony Payne writing, but I'm not disagreeing at all. Why would I? It makes an enormous difference to the preacher if the congregation is listening actively, good, and with energized attention. And if we show this by nodding, making eye contact, and I did smile at this bit, and laughing at the jokes, this spurs on the preacher in his ministry and gives him or her heart. Our active listening also infects others around us, just as our bored, disengaged listening discourages others. So think for a moment, what does your facial expression during sermon say to the preacher and to those around you? What do they see when they look at you listening to the sermon? So you've got to all practice your smiles now for this week and forever and ever. But actually for me, the last one is the one I think that comes into the most practical application, in which Tony Payne calls it the nuts and bolts. Loving the people around you at church can also be expressed in the little things, like a smile when you see someone, like a welcome chat, the thoughtfulness that notices the person next to you doesn't have, the thoughtfulness that notices the person next to you doesn't have a prayer book or a hymn book or a weekly sheet or a Bible and offers to share, or indeed by sitting beside or inviting someone on their own to sit with us. It's expressed in a servant-hearted attitude that does whatever it can to help others around them. Another obvious example of loving thoughtfulness is in our care of newcomers and visitors, of which we have some with us today. If we see someone who looks new or visiting, we should look after them. Just as God has so generously welcomed us, so we should welcome our guests among us. As we come to church to worship as part of God's family, that's two new words that I want us to take away before us today. Love and serve. Love and serve. How much better we are all when our attitudes are of a common mind that says you can't have one without the other. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, another challenge this week from this Lenten book series, that as we come to church, it is to worship you, and what a privilege that always is. But as we come, it's an opportunity to love and serve each other in the simple ways. Encouragement, sitting with someone, sharing our books, talking about our lives. And so I pray that this church community would always be one where love and service is at the heart of all that it seeks to do. Help us sing your praises. Help us to learn from your word. Help us in the nuts and bolts of what we do together each Sunday. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.